Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Jessica Mack's head hit the windshield, killing her instantly. Her spirit hovered for a few moments, making the adjustment, before detaching from her body and rising higher and higher above the cliff, high enough to see the twisted guardrail where the Camry had gone airborne, rolling over and over until it came to rest at the bottom of the steep canyon, high enough to see the driver of the 18-wheeler they had hit park his big rig on the shoulder of the highway and jump down from the cab, his yellow slicker a neon point of color in the night. This is G.P. Gottlieb, host for New Books in Literature, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. And today I'm talking with Sheila Lowe, forensic and psychological handwriting analyst, author of several nonfiction books, and author of the Claudia Rose Mystery Series. Today we're talking about her new series, Beyond the Veil, a psychological paranormal suspense, the first of which was published in 2013. In What She Saw, Jessica wakes up on a train with no idea about her identity and embarks on a terrifying roller coaster of suspense. Now, it's 5 years later, and the voices she heard back then have started to overwhelm her. With the guidance of some colorful characters, Jessica learns how to relay messages to those who've lost loved ones. But will the voices of the dead help when she's asked to find a missing, possibly living child? Although gruesome behavior is alluded to, this is a paranormal mystery that focuses on finding one's strength, listening carefully, and acting in a way that defines you the way you'd like to be defined. Hi, Sheila. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks so much, Kelly. Great to be here.
So your first book in the series was published in 2013. It's about a woman who wakes up not knowing who she is. Can you explain how you decided to continue the series and endow the same protagonist with the ability to hear voices?
Actually, I never expected it to be a series. When I wrote that book, it was a standalone because I had not had my contract with Penguin renewed. And so the agent that I had at the time said, no big publisher is going to take up a series in the middle. And so I wasn't quite sure what to do. So I wrote this standalone with a couple of themes that I'd always been very interested in pursuing. And I brought my series character, Claudia Rose, and some of her friends into the book in a minor role. And so it was a standalone, and it did very well. But several years later, I had picked up my series with another publisher, and I wanted to write a book about spirit. And because of my daughter's death in 2000, she was killed by her boyfriend, and it was a murder-suicide, and that got me interested in the spirit world. And I'd always thought I would write a book about her, but it was just too hard, you know, because her story did not have a happy ending. But I wanted to write about spirit, and it was something I'd been exploring for many years. And then my boyfriend died, and it kind of brought it all back front and center. And so then it occurred to me I could write a book about spirit that doesn't have to be about them. It could be a fiction, but talking about real spirit world stuff that could maybe help people. And so I started thinking about it. And I'm a psychic junkie. I go to mediums quite frequently. And at around that time, I had three different readings with different people who did not know me, didn't know anything about me, who independently said that my daughter was going to be working with me from the spirit world on a book. And I thought, wow, that's great. This must be the book, which was called Proof of Life. And as I started thinking about the book, it suddenly occurred to me that Jessica, from what she saw, would be the perfect protagonist. She had to be in this book. And then there's a character from my last Claudia Rose book at the time who I realized had to be her love interest. So that was how the second book came about. And so the first book, What She Saw, is not a spiritual book in that way, but it's Jessica's story. So I'm calling it the prequel.
Mm-hmm. I've read several of the Claudia Rose. I've enjoyed several of the Claudia Rose books. So it was really fun for me to see Claudia show up in Proof of Life. Can you say a little about her and what she does for a living?
Well, Claudia's career mirrors mine. I am not Claudia. People ask me that all the time, but I'm not Claudia. But she is a forensic document examiner, a handwriting analyst. And those are two different aspects of the same field of handwriting. And handwriting analysis for personality assessment. Like today I posted Johnny Depp's handwriting and yesterday Amber Heard's, and talk about what their handwriting shows about their personality. So that was the first 20 years of my career. And then I went into document examination, which is using handwriting to determine who wrote something. So it's handwriting authentication, and I testify in court in cases of forgery. And Claudia does the same kind of work. She's a lot younger than me, because when I started writing her, I was way younger. And so she's in her early 40s, a single modern woman with all of the sores, the stuff that modern young women have to deal with.
Oh, wow. Well, Sheila, I will admit for the New Books Network audience that I follow you on Facebook, so I already know a lot about your life. But I can't say how sad and difficult it must have been for you I am so sorry for your loss all those years ago, but how wonderful that you were able to turn that into this amazing series. And Jessica is really a fabulous character. She's your protagonist in both books. Who is she, and who is she? What does she mean to you?
Jessica, I really love Jessica. And she reminds me in many ways a lot of my daughter. Jennifer was her name. And I do feel that Jennifer, I mean, it's not like she took over and wrote the story for me. That would have been a lot easier. But there were times when I just couldn't figure something out, and I would ask her to help me. And it was like getting an immediate download of information, which is not your question. But Jessica, I don't know, she's got this, I'm not going to call it a skill, a gift. She wouldn't look at it as a gift. She looks at it as a curse. But because of something that happened to her earlier, it's opened up a different part of her brain. And so she's hearing dead people. Although dead is kind of a misnomer, because what I learned from my daughter is there is no death. There's life after Earth. So what I've learned is that you close your eyes to this life, you open them, and it's like you just woke up and you're in another life that's very much like this one, only way better. So Jessica's learning to navigate all of that and how to control it, because, you know, you got these people asking you for stuff all the time. They're not bad people. They just really want to get through to their relatives and tell them they're okay. I kind of think of it like if you go away somewhere, let's say you go to Europe or Israel or anywhere, even, you know, in the United States. And when you get there, one of the first things you do, if you're anything like me, is you pick up the phone and you call your kids and say, I got here, I'm safe, right? So that's what the people in the other world, on the other side, they come through. If they see somebody who can act as a medium, that they can get a message through to their loved ones, they're going to use it. So that could drive you crazy if you can't turn it off. And so Jessica has to learn how to control it.
It was amazing when Jessica was able to help attempted to help the FBI. Why doesn't it happen more in real life? Or does it? We just don't know. But shouldn't anyone be able to get messages from the dead and report them to the police? Could you make a public service announcement about it?
Anybody can do it. I don't know if you'd want to go to the police because they probably wouldn't take you seriously unless you were somebody who was known to them that specialized in that. And they do have people who are very good at doing that, who have very good skills. But anybody can learn how to communicate with people that have crossed over. There's lots of resources. And I put some of them in the back of Proof of Life.
Yeah, so I'm going to think about it. I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I want to.
You don't want to. You have to learn to protect yourself, because just like here, if you leave your front door open and you live in a neighborhood where there's some people out there that you don't want to come in your house, not a good idea. And just the same thing, not everybody on the other side, just once you go over there, it's not like you suddenly become an angel. So there are people on the other side that you don't want to be in your energy and in your space. So you have to learn how to do protection. And although not everybody agrees with that, some people say you don't. Depends who you listen to. But they tell me, and I don't do this myself, but they tell me that meditation is the key, and learning how to meditate and open yourself. But you don't even have to do that. You can talk to your people right now. You don't have to do anything special. Just talk to them and ask them to show you signs, and they'll show you stuff. They'll let you know that they might do it through flickering the lights or turning a radio station while you're listening to it, to some song that was important to you, or any number of things. It's not
Jessica, your character Jessica has what she calls them episodes, and her clue that she's going to get information like that just before it happens is a shrieking noise in her ear. Can you say more?
I actually took that from my experience, not with the spirit world, but I used to have that. All of a sudden, I'd hear this high pitched whistling, and then everything would go black. But I didn't actually lose consciousness. But they thought I had epilepsy. But they never did figure out what it was. But it came after I had a blow to the head. So in Jessica's case, she really has a full blackout. And I think what happens to her is not common. And it's fiction. So when she wakes up, she's usually in some place else that she didn't mean to be, or she's done something that she didn't know she was doing.
Yeah. She also feels vibrations near her face. Is that something that ever happened to you?
I get tingly feelings in my head at certain times, and then I feel that I believe that's evidence that a spirit is around me.
So Jessica meets the Reverend Bella Bingham, who gives her a lot of really important information. Could you say more about her, Bella?
Yeah, Bella reminds me a lot of a woman that I know who does the same kind of work. She's a reverend and leads a congregation and is a spirit medium herself. So the man that Jessica meets introduces her to Bella, and Jessica becomes like her protege. So she teaches her how to get better control over what is going on with her. She's her mentor.
And she's a good one, I think. And Jessica, the man who introduces her to Bella is a guy named Sage. How is he important to the story?
Oh, I think just Sage, they are kindred spirits. They just recognize each other on a soul level. And I have somebody in mind for that, you know, that I think of that looks like him. I don't know if you watch Grey's Anatomy, but what's his name? Jesse. Oh, he just left the show too. Now I can't think of his name.
I don't watch it, so I don't know. But okay, but so you already imagine who's going to play the role of Sage in the movie.
And also, okay. Jessica, I have somebody in mind for her too.
Who's that? Do tell.
Yeah, if I wasn't completely blanking, wait a second.
If you could think of her name. Okay, that's all right.
It's, but her name is Juno Temple.
Oh, my goodness.
You know
she's from Ted Lasso, right?
I don't know. I've never seen that, but I saw her in a movie and I just felt like, oh, there's Jessica.
Wow. So the name Sage, is he a sage? Is he a wise
That's a good
person?
One. That's really good. I hadn't even thought of that. But yes, he is very wise and very spiritual too. So,
yeah. So Bella, the Reverend, explains to Jessica about the Clares. There's a lot of Clares. Can you do a brief explanation?
Yeah. Most people have heard of some of the Clares, like clairaudience, clairvoyance, most people know. And that just, clair is just means the word clear. So clairaudience, and audio is hearing, so that's clear hearing. And clairvoyance is clear seeing. It means, you know, you're seeing something that's beyond what the physical eyes and ears can hear. There's what else is,
I said, cognizance.
Claircognizance. Yeah, that's like your intuition. You know something without knowing how you know it. You just get it.
Okay. Clairsalience.
Clairsalience is that has to do with smelling. So after my daughter died, like a few days later, it may have even been before the funeral, I suddenly got a very strong sense of the perfume that she wore. So that would be clairsalience. It might be a flower. It could be any number of things.
Wow. Was there a fifth one that I missed?
I think clairgustance or gustance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What's that? That has to do with tasting. Like if you suddenly taste something that is familiar to you, that has to do with somebody on the other side, that might tell you that they're around.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because you know, gustation is about tasting. Mm-hmm. So clairgustance.
I didn't understand how you would taste something and then how that would connect to the spirit world.
Well,
but that makes sense.
Connecting you with somebody specific, you know, that you maybe, I don't know, what kind of strong or unusual
chocolate. Chocolate.
Okay. Well, if you're not eating chocolate and somebody you knew loved chocolate and suddenly you taste it, then that might be an indicator that they were around. Or I might smell a certain pipe smoke that my father used to smoke. Things like that.
Okay. Jay is a minor character based on another person. Can you say more about who he is and what he does for the story?
Yes, Jay. Well, I mentioned that my boyfriend had died just when I was thinking about this book. And his middle name was Jay. And I was writing a scene, and all of a sudden in my head, very strongly, my boyfriend, whose name was actually Arnie, came riding up on his bicycle at the beach. Now, that was something that he liked to do a lot. And I could just see him doing this in my head. And I go, okay, you want to be in the book? I'll put you in the book. And so I put him in the scene with Jessica. And much later, I was driving along and all of a sudden, same thing. Same exact thing. And I said, Arnie, if you're going to be in here again, I can't just put you, there has to be a good reason. Because when you're writing a book, especially a mystery, every scene, every word has got to lead the story forward. So if you're going to be in it, there's got to be a good reason. I don't know what it would be. And about 30 seconds later, I get this really good reason for his being there. It was just like a download. So I put it in. and he's
wow.
there.
Okay. The reporters who hound the parents of missing children, you portray them as absolutely evil. What do you think? Can you say more?
Well, you know, I didn't have that kind of thing when Jennifer was killed, mainly because she lived 100 miles away and they probably didn't know, but I did have some of them calling me and asking questions. And, you know, we see this in the media. I mean, you just have to look at the news when any horrible thing happens. They're there and they want their story. And you know that saying, if it bleeds, it leads. That's what sells, not newspapers anymore, but it sells media. So I think that's what they do. It's their job.
So not evil, just doing their jobs.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are evil. You know, there are certainly evil reporters, but not mainstream ones.
So now you have this series going on. Will you go back to the Claudia Rose? Is there another book in the series? And what's next for you?
I am currently working on the next book in the Jessica series, the Beyond the Veil series, and it's called The Last Door. And so it's the next adventures of Jessica. And I would tell you the first line in the book so far. It could change, but right now here's the first line. The news landed like a drone strike, exploding everything Jessica Mack knew about her life.
Oh.
So I'm about 60% done. And I just made a research trip this week up the coast, about 200 miles.
I saw that on Facebook, and your research involved sitting in a great-looking cafe overlooking the ocean with a glass. Was it a Chablis? I don't know.
I don't even remember. Yeah, my sister and I went up there, and then she's my half-sister, and she has a cousin who lives in San Jose, and she came down, and we all got together. We went to this place called Nepenthe, and it's been there for a long time because the last time I was there was 1968, and I was 18. I bought a pair of earrings there. They were these dangly earrings with a yellow ball on the end, like crystal, and I loved them. And one of them got lost, and I guess the other one got thrown away, and I thought, well, they're not going to have the same earrings, but I'm going to go back there. And we had the weather was perfect. We had the view of the ocean. It was a wonderful day. So now, and you know,
wait, when you the earrings, did you find earrings?
I didn't. And I don't care anymore. You know, I'm a hermit. I hardly ever wear earrings, so it didn't matter. But
oh, okay.
So it was just great.
Not a sad ending. It's a good ending.
No, it was fine. And you know, whenever I take a trip and I can work it into the book, I can write it off. So
there you go. Wow, Sheila, I sat down and read Proof of Life in an afternoon. Couldn't put it down. So thank you. It was a lovely, I can't wait for the next one. Let me know. You'll tell everyone on Facebook, right?
Of course.
So we'll all know. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you for joining me today. Again, this is G.P. Gottlieb, author of the Whipped and Sipped Mystery Series and host for New Books in Literature, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. Today, I've been talking to author Sheila Lowe about Proof of Life, the second in her Beyond the Veil paranormal suspense series. Hope you're all able to lose yourself in a good book today and tomorrow too. Happy reading.